There is an element of careful what you wish for here.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, Clayton Fernandez. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. It's been a interesting morning. Got the
It
news.
has. Yeah, we should timestamp. It's just coming up to 1 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. The last intro we did for England's extra time on England was, and we didn't need extra time this time. God knows we needed it on Sunday, although it may have still ended up with the same result. But we must first obviously touch on, I think, the breaking news from this morning that Gareth Southgate has resigned as England manager, making us proud even after it's fucking over, because I think it's the right decision. And I think he knew it. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I think right decision, but still sad, right? I think we
Yes.
said maybe in the preview to the final, like, who would you be most happy for out of certain players, certain people in our own personal lives, Gareth Southgate, and I think both of us said him, right? I think there's no question in like denying his character, his likability as a man, his man management skills. And yeah, just a very likable guy, given us as a country some unbelievable memories. Over the last 8 years, the tactical stuff we've done to death, not really sure we need to do that again. Yeah, just felt like the timing was right. And yeah, mixed emotions. I think natural moving on to the next chapter, but grateful for everything he's done, I think, is how I'd summarize my feelings. How about you?
Yeah, it's the right decision. I think we'd kind of agreed on that a couple of weeks ago. I think it became really clear in the run up to the Slovakia game that possibly a decision might have already been made. I think even, reflect on him making this announcement on the Tuesday morning, he obviously did know, I think, for a little while, and didn't make it about him on Sunday night. Took it, faced it, as a manager. And I'd said yesterday about, maybe even just give yourself 24 hours to reflect and make sure
Yeah.
that's the right decision. Maybe that's what it was. I think he should be able to hold his head up incredibly high for what he's achieved. I think it should also be remembered that he didn't want the job.
I didn't remember that. Yeah, I
When
forgot.
obviously Sam Allardyce got the job after the Roy
Yeah.
Iceland fiasco, and Sam has a 100% record as a winning England manager. One game played, one game won. Was obviously caught out in an undercover sting. Gareth Southgate originally was asked to do the job on an interim basis for four games. Made it clear during that period that he didn't think he was ready to be England manager. They couldn't find anyone they really wanted and decided they wanted Gareth to carry on, possibly because it was on the floor, Iceland, Sam Allardyce, etc. And agreed to do it with one clear target, which he's spoken about again over the last week or so, of want to make England better. That's it. It wasn't a remit of achieve this, that, and the other. I've seen FA leaders in the past set targets of winning tournaments in 8 years and stuff like that. There was nothing like that when Gareth
Yeah.
Southgate took over. There was just make it better. That was it, basically, because that's how low it was. And I mean, it probably feels pretty low right now after losing a final, but then you should remember that from 8 years ago.
That's really good
And
context. I kind of forgot all that. And I'll be honest, I forgot all of that. I even forgot about the Allardyce stint. I genuinely, that
of course
escaped
you
my mind.
do.
Yeah.
Of course you do. Who wants to remember it? Who wants to remember 2016 other than dickheads like me and you go, let's do a podcast on Iceland
Yeah.
to just reminisce and make us remember that actually there's been worse than this. The tournament performance of semi-final, final, quarter-final, final, with that context, is an incredible. It seems weird saying achievement because I know a lot of people think we should be winning shit now. But it is an incredible achievement to put that on the board from what the expectations were when when he started. Yes, we can all have our misgivings about some of the football, particularly in the most recent tournament. Some of the tactical stuff. Yep, sure, fine. But a reminder that he himself said that he wasn't ready. I think he learned on the job. I think he then became, rather than a make England better, probably a desperation after Italy to make it a winning England.
Yeah.
I think he himself realizes that England has a better chance of winning in the next tournament if someone else does it. And I think he's done the honest thing and stepped away. My biggest thing with Gareth is, like, you want to be critical of the tactical stuff and all that. That's fine. That's fine. Don't criticize the man now.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, man. He's been a great representation. Even think through to how we dealt with the things like the boys suffering the racist abuse and things like that. How he's dealt with everything. They've on eight years, they've got nothing on him.
No.
Nothing on him.
Yeah. And you
And you
could
have to
tell
go a
how the
lot.
squad look at him and
Yeah.
treat him and
And
respect him. Yeah.
probably you probably he's only probably Roy Hodgson, actually. He's probably the only other one that they never got anything on in terms
Yeah.
of England manager. Just, I mean, Gareth was better than Roy.
Yeah.
I'm not criticizing Roy for what he's achieved in football, but in terms of England manager, yes, Gareth achieved much more than what Roy did.
What were your some of your favorite moments from the Southgate era? Because we've had some and more.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think last Wednesday goes in now. For winning first ever semi-final on foreign soil, and whatever you think about Netherlands, they do fall into that category of major nation. So yes, England beat a major nation on foreign soil. That happened. And in the first half of that game, we played the best football that we played in the tournament was in the first half of that match. So I think the Netherlands game will get remembered very fondly. Possibly still Colombia 2018,
That's still
because
one that comes to
it
mind for me,
just
yeah.
felt really,
It was new.
yeah, that historic winning on penalties felt like a big deal. Germany in the Euros, the manner of dismantling Ukraine in Rome,
Yeah.
everything that came with then the pressure of almost expectancy of beating Denmark, but knowing they were a pretty handy team in that semi-final. I think the realization against France that it had come a long way despite losing, although I do have the nagging sense that France were very happy for us to have the ball. But I think it has evolved a lot, actually. The next step is fluidity. We've gone from a team that can now dominate the ball, but it's playing with a tactical setup and fluidity to make the top teams, we're talking about Spain's here, truly fear us. I
Yeah.
think they fear us individually. They don't fear us
Not
as a
as a unit.
collective.
Yeah.
That's the next step.
Yeah. And I think that's for me, like, he's kind of laid the foundations to enable that as a conversation. I know part of it is just naturally there's so much talent that has come through the different academies in the country. But the way he kind of united that group and created a safe environment for them to all feel safe, I guess, and united, and like they really feel like a team. And I know it's a slight generational cultural shift, but you do look back and listen to the Gerrards, Lampards, Rios talking about what it was like in the camps when they were playing, and it was like the United guys on one table, the Arsenal on the other, and stuff, and how divided it was. And you don't really get any feeling like that in this camp. And I think, sure, it is a cultural thing of like these guys being a bit more younger and stuff, but I think Southgate was the kind of shepherd to create that environment. And I think now it'll be interesting to have conversations around next manager and stuff, but I personally don't think the requirement of them being English is such an important thing because of the great job he's done in kind of creating that relationship between the country as fans and the playing group, which I think is largely him.
Yeah, completely united group. I think Ben White and a few others might potentially disagree. But largely, I think the words of people enjoy going to play for England again
You can
probably,
see it in the
yeah, largely
DP. I don't know
ring
if you
true.
watch many of the YouTube behind the scenes stuff and the Lions Den, but like, I'm a sucker for like behind the scenes content for club and country. So I love watching that. And yet they get the vibe. They're just Yeah, they love being there. Like they all seem to get on. They enjoy being there. They look forward to representing the country. It's really nice to watch.
That's helped massively. You think of how the team got locked away basically in 2010. Was it Bloemfontein in South Africa? I forget exactly, but they just got locked away, didn't they? We're like, this is
Yeah.
fucking hell. What do we do for 24 hours? Okay, we train for two. Like, what about the other
Yeah, now
22
what?
hours?
Yeah.
It's like nothing. So I think he'd found the right blend and balance. I'm glad you also mentioned people like Gerard and Ferdinand. Because it does make, and I know there's a really talented pool of players there at the moment, but this idea that this is like the greatest England team ever is actually a nonsense.
Yeah.
Because we've discussed this, how many of this team gets in the Golden Generation team. And the only ones we could be truly confident on kind of pre-tournament were like, yep, the goalkeeper, Jordan
Yeah.
Pickford. And probably Harry Kane, and probably don't feel that strongly about Harry Kane right now. So, he's made mistakes. He'll
Who
know it.
hasn't?
We
Yeah.
know it. All that. I think he's done the right thing. We move forward. We should be very, very thankful for the 8 years. Yes, all of us wanted to play better over the last month, but we were very, very close to achieving the ultimate. Not that I thought for a single fucking minute on Sunday it would happen. But before we talk Sunday, just for the record, betting odds as they stand now for next England manager would essentially say that there are maybe four people in the running here.
Okay.
One is Graham Potter, who I'm absolutely convinced that's who it will be. Lots of noise about Lee Carsley over the last couple of days as obviously under 21 manager, and they do play good football. That's the recurring theme I keep finding that people say about Lee Carsley's under 21 team. They do play good football. And look, Gareth Southgate came from the under 21s and through it, there would be the same. I think it was probably an underwhelming appointment, probably for the majority. And most people just go, hang on, didn't he play for the Republic of Ireland? Yeah, but he was born in England. He's English. So Lee Carsley will be in the running because I think always with the FA, if they're not sure, they revert to what they can trust and
Yep.
know. So they work with him, so they know how that works. I don't see Eddie Howe leaving Newcastle.
Neither do I.
Just don't see it. I think,
Is he third in that bookies odds then?
yeah, if he was offered it, it's obviously difficult to turn down. But I also think that day will come again for Eddie Howe. The reality is Gareth Southgate's done 8 years. Not many are going to do 8 years.
No, that's a
The
long stint.
time will come again, I think, for Eddie Howe. He doesn't need to do that. Whereas Eddie Howe could do the England job, flop, and he'd never get him back into a Newcastle or similar. So I think he'd turn it down,
So
is
do I.
my instinct. I also don't know if the FA feel like they want that war with Newcastle.
Yeah.
The fourth name, the outsider at the moment, is Mauricio Pochettino, who is the
Yeah.
one that falls under that, who is not English. I think,
You think he would take it if he was offered?
yes.
Even with like the English-Argentinian
Yeah.
relationship. Yeah. Is that overblown?
Not for everybody, but for a lot of people, yeah, yes. I think for Pochettino's lived here and acclimatized here, etc. Kids still live here, etc. There's no problem. If you almost maybe feels adopted English a little bit. So no, I don't think that would be a problem. I think what I would say from my experiences of Poch, and also noises you hear since he's walked out of Chelsea about massive concerns about him tactically. And ultimately everyone seems to want something that's a little bit more tactical. Of the three names above that, I think Eddie Howe certainly gives that, but there would be concern about the next tournament being in North America and possibly being very hot and Eddie Howe's team's looking at their best when they run through fucking brick walls for you. I don't know how you're going to be able to do that. Perhaps a more, I don't want to say pragmatic style is really, really unfair, but definitely more perhaps ball dominant Potter
Yeah.
possibly is the solution here. And again, so therefore, it might just be wrong time for Eddie Howe. I would love Eddie Howe to do the England job at some point. I don't think that time for him is now. I think it will come again.
Who would be your preference out of that four then? And also, are Klopp or Tuchel on that list anywhere outside of the top four? I don't know if
So,
you've got six, seven,
yeah,
eight there.
Klopp and Tuchel are next in the ban.
Okay.
I think Thomas Tuchel is really unlikely, but probably not a definitive not. Jurgen Klopp said, and I think all of us would go, oh my God, if it was Jurgen Klopp, great. Jurgen Klopp made it extremely clear that he would not manage anybody this year. Anybody.
Yeah.
He basically promised Liverpool fans that, and I don't see him fucking. And Liverpool hate England, so
Yeah, Scouse not English, would it?
I don't. It's not all Liverpool fans. I don't see that changing. I mean, and then when you get further down the list, Frank Lampard,
Oh,
obviously
cool.
not. Joachim Löw, Roberto Mancini, Thiago Motta's just taking Juventus job. Like, you know, Didier Deschamps, Ralf Rangnick. No, you're pissing in the wind once you go further.
Yeah.
It's just them top four. Maybe Thomas Tuchel.
So you
Maybe.
said you think it will be Potter. Would he necessarily be your preference then? Taking the top four from those bookies odds.
I'd like to do more research on Lee Carsley
Same. I don't know
because I
enough
think
about him.
those who've done it are not against the idea, and that interests me. Again, might be one too early, maybe. I'm pretty convinced it'll be Potter. So
Yeah.
the wants and the wills and I'd have Klopp, no.
Yeah.
Wenger, fucking give it Wenger, whatever. No, I think it will be Grandpa. I just, you know, he's turned down a few jobs. It feels like something that might have been predetermined. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if it was like right end of the week, it's done.
Yeah.
Would make me very suspicious that it was something that, and it's not saying it will take ages, right? You know, England have got games in September. It will soon get organised. I think it will probably be part of you.
I think it'll be Potter as well. I do think they'll approach Poch. Be interesting
Do
to see. Yeah, I could
I
see
mean,
them
it
approaching
would be
him.
right for them to interview several people.
Yeah.
I
One thing
don't
I'm
know.
really intrigued to see though is like, you know what we say about that kind of unity within the group, how much they kind of look at Southgate as a father figure. Be interesting to see how they take to a new manager. I don't really doubt that they will be professional and stuff, but I'd go as far as saying like they care about Southgate more than just respect. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how
I
they take
mean,
that.
bar Cole Walker, John Stones.
Trips. Oh wait, it depends what you're gonna say. I might
Yeah.
misunderstand what you
No, Trips was, full, I think, pretty sure falls into the Gareth Southgate line. I was going to say he would have given them their England debuts.
Oh, okay.
Harry Kane would be Roy Hodgson. But a majority of them, certainly 80%+, have obviously been given their debuts by Gareth Southgate. That in itself, I think, brings a lot of loyalty, probably.
Yeah.
But also to flip that on its head, we had a discussion a couple of weeks ago about, you know, do John Stones and Cole Walker speak up if they don't like the way England are playing out from the back? There probably will be an element of this is a little bit below maybe what our highest expectations are.
Yeah.
Yeah, Potter, for what's next, Potter is probably the right appointment. He'll bore the fucking country to tears with his pressers and shit like that, I think.
With his what? Oh, press conferences. Yeah.
Yeah, he ain't getting shit out of him.
No. I think the one thing I'm nervous about now though is the runs we've had, let's not beat around the bush, they have been complimentary. They've been easy. Let's not, yeah, I'm not gonna mince my words. They've been easy.
Kind,
And
don't care, fuck off.
no. I'm
I
not using
realise
this.
all of Scotland is still pissed and celebrating, but I don't
I'm not
care.
using this to beat Southgate with a stick. You'll hear me what I'm going to say in a sec. It's more, I don't think it's likely that we get back-to-back runs in major tournaments like we've had at the Euros. And I can see a lot of people, if we get eliminated against a top nation in the quarterfinals, using that as a stick to beat the new manager with and kind of putting Southgate on a pedestal. I think now it's a
Oh,
case.
It'll all change, mate. Oh, Gareth Southgate got us to this, that, the other. Like,
exactly. Yeah. I think
no,
there's.
There is definitely an element here of, and again, I think it's the right decision. There is an element of careful what you wish for here.
Yeah, 100%.
Definitely. There's
yeah.
no guarantee what's next is better.
No. And this
In fact,
is
it's probably from a results perspective, it's more likely to be worse.
I 100% think from a results perspective, it will be worse. And it's largely driven by the fact I don't think we will see England get the draws they've had. But my thing has always been when it gets to playing those big teams, I think this England side can be more competitive, can have a bit more of a tactical edge. That's for me what I think this group is ready for next. And that's where it'll be interesting to see how they fare with a new manager.
Let's talk Sunday. I
Yeah.
suspect me and Suj might need to cover Southgate again.
Where'd you watch it? King's Head again?
Yes. Went for a big Sunday dinner with the missus, her dad, and Harry.
Cute.
And had a carrot cake, which was a massive mistake.
Was that a mistake? I fucking love carrot cake.
Sugar makes me tired. It has the opposite impact that it should do. Yeah. So anyway, fine. Went out, hour and a half for kickoff, met dad, same pub. Largely well behaved. But not an enjoyable experience at all.
Why?
Because unfortunately, this isn't going to apply to the majority of the patrons. It might apply to some. So if it applies to you, then I'm sorry. When this happens with England, you do get every fucking man and his dog is fucking out. And it's not to say those people don't deserve to go out. They absolutely do. But the behavior of these people is very different from the norm, I
the
think.
Regular match going.
Yeah, there is very much of a, I'm out watching England in a major final and I don't care who I fuck off.
It gives me
this is the biggest thing ever, even though I probably didn't even watch the game on Wednesday, kind of fucking jazz.
It gives me large people at festival vibes rather than they're there to watch a football game. I know exactly what you mean. And I can't remember if I said this on a podcast or just to you off air, but when I went to like a brewery to watch a game, I fucking hated it. I think it was the Denmark game maybe, but it was like the type of conversations I was hearing, the behavior. I was like, fucking get me out of this place.
The game for me became not a fight. That would be incorrect terminology. But it became 2 hours of work to make sure my dad could see the game.
Yeah.
Can you move, mate? Can you move, mate? Can you move, mate? Can you move, mate? A lot of that.
As in people were asking you or you were asking people?
No. People stand in front and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's just pain in the ass, fucking stuff. No one being misbehaving or horrible or anything, just like, your fucking man's sitting there. He's a fucking old man. Can you get out of his fucking
way?
Some
common sense,
basically.
Yeah.
From my perspective, don't mind so much. I'd said to you previously that I'd happily stand, and I basically did for the majority of the second half anyway, because it was just easier that way. And I also accept that where I was wasn't like I was in Liverpool Street, which looked like it was getting trashed at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or Leicester Square that looked like it was getting trashed at 11 o'clock in the morning. I'm glad I wasn't in any of these places. I was basically as far north out of London, within London, as I could be, and it was largely quite civilized. No one misbehaved. There was no rucks or anything like that.
No, I know what you mean.
It was just,
it's just
a fucking vibe atmosphere that was just not fucking enjoyable. And I don't think I'd have gone anywhere else that would have been.
No, I went to a screening at Ali Pali, which obviously usually hosts the darts and stuff. And I hated it. Type of people there. Fucking, obviously, when the goal scored, drenched in beer. Like, I still don't understand. Pay £7 for a pint. Why the fuck would you want to dash it? But my experience was only positive-ish because of the people I was with. Like, I was with friends and stuff. But yeah, I just don't enjoy watching it in public anymore. And I feel the same as you. I just can't put my own opinion into words here. But the type of people I end up surrounded by, especially the big stages of the tournaments, like, I get it, like your English, go support your country, but you can tell when it's people that haven't watched a single second and they're the most vocal ones. I'm like, oh my
Yeah,
God.
I think it makes you on edge a little bit as well. It's a little bit like when you go somewhere that's unfamiliar, all right, behave. Just simple, right? The you know, if you're walking down Tottenham High Road and you sing your fucking song as a Tottenham fan, you're in Tottenham fucking High Road. I'm not gonna walk down Holloway Road and sing that, right?
No, of course. It's
Right,
just common
clearly,
sense,
and
yeah.
vice versa. Holloway Road being Arsenal territory for those who don't know, right? It's just fucking simplistic, okay? If I've walked out of Leicester train station, and every time we walk out of train station, it's all Tottenham together, and everyone's having a jovial sing song, and you know it's not gonna kick off outside Leicester train station, okay? It's probably not the best thing to let everyone know you're there, but it's all right. If I'm going to somewhere I've never been before, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah.
Okay. When there is unfamiliar around you, it brings, I think, a little bit of trepidation of how people are going to act. For example, like I said, I spent majority of the game, can you get out of his way? And again, it wasn't, no one was like, no, fuck off or anything
Yeah.
like that. Once people were like, okay, they understand and move. But I spent a lot of the game thinking, if we score here, I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm going to like it. Because there are people in there who have decided this is the biggest moment of their fucking life, even though they've probably never been here before. And I don't know what the reaction is going to be. And I was able to see what that reaction was because I didn't shout goal when England scored. That might have been partly why, but it was also because I
You
thought
said you
Bukayo
thought
Saka was
Sam.
offside.
Yeah, I listened to the
I
pod with Sid
genuinely
yesterday.
did.
Yeah.
I genuinely did think Bukayo Saka was offside. If anybody's wondering why there was no extended cut from the pub, by the way, it was because I was not leaving my fucking phone on the table around all these people that I didn't know.
No.
But I didn't shout goal. Obviously, I lifted my arms and stuff. Dad's there celebrating. He comes around, jumps in my arms. I said, it could be offside. And everyone's going mental. But what, because I wasn't going mad as maybe I would have when, say, Jude scored or when Ollie Watkins scored, I could see right in front of me that some bloke, definitely older than me, probably 50 or so, decided with his pint glass not to throw it up in the air and
A
be a
glass, yeah,
twat.
not a cup.
Glass, yeah. It didn't throw the glass.
All
Didn't
right.
throw the glass. I didn't hear any smashing glasses. Like I said, largely it was quite well behaved. This guy had a full pint. And he just decided there was a group across the table from him that were jumping, and it just the drink was just going over him.
Like, what? I don't get it. It's
Why?
I don't I it's become a bit of a
What did he
meme,
do?
hasn't
To get turned around to his mates, went, I just threw my drink over them.
it?
Like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is
It
that?
I cannot explain it, and like you see it all the time at Box Park, right? It's fucking annoying. Yeah, I genuinely can't stand that. My mate Adam, who I was with on Sunday, he fucked off just before Palmer scored because he was fed up. He left it. His wife was with us. He left his wife. He left me, and he just went and stood in the corner. He wanted to be on his own. He said, "I'm not enjoying this with the people around." And he said, like, when the goal scored. Goal when Palmer scored, he was dry, like no beer on him and stuff. But he wanted to just watch it on his own because he wasn't enjoying the people we were around. And
I don't blame him.
he had the right idea. But it's
I don't
sad,
blame him.
like that it gets to that.
I think there was also probably an element of mistake from myself in terms of my Saturday night, probably set me up in the wrong frame of mood for Sunday. So
Me
on
too. Well,
Saturday
what
night,
was your reason? What did you
I
do?
don't know, go on, why you Saturday
I
morning?
got fucking smashed on Saturday night. Like, so I was
Oh.
hungover accidentally. I didn't
No,
intend to, but
I didn't do that at all. I took Harry to Enfield Town, which we'll talk about with Suj later in the
nice.
week, because that was successful slash very unsuccessful. But no, that wasn't the problem. I finished watching the documentary I've been watching on Channel 4 called Football Cops, which is basically about designated police officers at certain football clubs and how they police football operations. And this one was primarily focused, this last one, was primarily focused on the playoff matches, not from this summer, but it's obviously pre-done from the summer before, between Carlisle and Bradford primarily. And you just think, I'm watching it, and it just made me think more and more about English fan behavior. And And it kind of being quite far removed from what my experience now is with Tottenham.
Yep. I'd echo that with me and Arsenal.
And I think it's not a criticism of Carlisle or Bradford specifically. It's just a nature of lower league football and what that entails and more the type of people that go. And it went off. let's say that it went off. Okay, fine. I quite enjoyed those episodes though, because I think it's nice to see it from the police perspective. I think many of us who've been to football have all had that perspective where why are the police doing this? Yeah. So it was nice to kind of see their perspective, even though you didn't necessarily agree with all their strategies and stuff. It's a chance
for them to explain themselves, right?
Exactly that. So watch that, and then I watched a Netflix doc, Attack on Wembley.
Oh, no. I've purposely avoided that one.
So... yeah, don't bother, mate. The only thing I could tell you after I watched it was just like immense embarrassment of what I was. Even though I wasn't there, I had nothing to fucking do with me. But I don't know how you could watch it and feel any pride in what happened there or and the way people were behaving. I mean, it was farcical from an organisational and structure point of view from the policing, etc. But it's fucking embarrassing, man. Really, really embarrassing. And I get it as well because it was off the back of COVID and people wanted to go out and go mental. And I get it, but it went over the top and innocent people were in the fucking way of what must have been. Was you there at the final?
I was, yeah. And like, to be fair, I didn't actually see any of that trouble. So like where I was, I heard of it through social media. So where I was, I just didn't actually see it.
But when you was in the ground, you must have known it was way more people there than was fucking meant to be.
No, didn't have a clue.
Because it was only meant to be like 65,000, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, maybe I just didn't really register that then. But...
It's probably Wembley's highest ever attendance and it should have been limited to 65,000.
No, just being honest, I don't actually remember thinking anything was odd or unusual.
Any case, watch that. Then I turned that off, and the first thing that come on was BBC News.
And what was going on?
Fucking Trump's been shot. Oh. So I was like, Jesus fucking Christ, this has been a fun evening, isn't it, James? I've put myself through all of this, by the way. So then you're like, well, I need to watch and see what's happening here, and if that's a blood capsule or if he's really been shot or whatever, and people can draw their own conclusions. I was like, that's fucking shit. So I don't know if I went with a kind of a thought process on Sunday of, you know, questioning my own, not allegiance, if you will, but you looking at your thing, there's a lot of fucking English fans don't deserve this.
Mate, I'm so glad you said this sort of stuff because I've been...
I get why so many people hate us.
Yeah, I've been struggling with my own feelings the last few days where I think largely driven by the incident I had when I was in Germany, but just this feeling of like, I'm not sure I do feel proud to be English per se. And it is largely driven by, again, like, I think it's slightly different for me where like I've had racism incidents and stuff. And I've started to feel a little bit more, I guess, insecure about like a brown guy putting on an England top and stuff. So like even the rest of the tournament, I didn't actually wear colours. And then you describe things like the behaviour and stuff. And I must say, like I said, when I was out there, 99% of the England fans were well-behaved and I didn't see trouble. But you do look at certain incidents, and I know it's not the same for everyone, so you can't generalise, but I don't really get that sense of pride to the point where I'd say the word you use is perfect, like my allegiances, I'd say it kind of wavered throughout the tournament, to be honest, in terms of how I feel a lack of pride towards being English, if I'm being honest. And again, I want to stress, this is largely driven by like racism driven kind of thoughts in my head, but I don't know. Yeah, I had very conflicting emotions, but if I had to paraphrase, I didn't feel heartbroken on Sunday night. Like, yeah.
No, me neither. All I wanted to do was go home.
Yeah, same. Like, my mates all went to the pub. I was like, no, I can't be arsed. I'm just going to go.
I stayed and had another drink with my dad outside because that's what he wanted to do. But I really would just wanted to say, I'm going to put you in a cab, fuck off, because I want to go home now. But I didn't. And this is where I had, you probably heard on the pod yesterday, fucking lady telling me she wanted Harry Redknapp to be the next manager and stuff.
You just left her with your old man. That made me laugh.
I suddenly went from being really sober to thinking I must be battered out of my mind to be fucking hearing this quite quickly. Yeah, I wanted to get out of there. And again, it wasn't, nobody was, I think actually the reaction at full time where I was largely pretty good. People just wanted to carry on. It was okay. I didn't see any trouble or anything. And I think there's always a little bit of trepidation when England lose in a tournament, what the reaction is going to be around you. It wasn't necessarily a huge reflection, I think, on where I was. It was more a reflection on my lack of enjoyment. And I agree with you. I think I was disappointed.
Yeah, same.
But also when I got home and I was thinking, what would this be like if this was Tottenham now? Even, you know, do I think, well, what would you rather, Tottenham won the League Cup or like England won the Euros?
If it was Arsenal, there would be physical tears. I'd have a pain in my chest. Like,
No, it's not. You know what it is with England? This is what I said last week. The journey's fucking great. It's the journey, you know, that the everyone coming together. But then when you don't enjoy the coming together anymore, what is it?
What is there? Yeah.
What
well
is it?
Said, well put.
And I weren't enjoying the coming together no more on Sunday.
Yeah. And it's worth
saying.
And
I wanted them to win. I wanted them to win for Southgate. I wanted them to win for my dad. I wanted them to win for each other. Because whatever misgivings on the players in this tournament, by the way, I don't think anyone wasn't trying or anything like that.
Oh, no.
But I didn't give that much of a shit.
Same.
It's the reality. And my definite conclusion was, I'm 40, he's 70.
Yeah.
I don't need this next time. Next time, like I said, maybe Harry will be interested. But if he is, I think it will be, we're going to granddad's.
Yeah.
That's what I think it will be. Yeah. Or if he's not interested, I'm going to my dad's. And fuck everyone else.
Yeah, just watch it with those that you actually care about and enjoy sharing those moments with, right?
I don't enjoy that environment where I don't know how people are going to behave. Bottom line.
I think that's the thing with club football. It's your community. It's your people. Yeah. You know exactly what you're going to get. You feel like I feel like I belong sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that. It's interesting. The final already feels to me fucking ages ago.
Yeah, you said that this morning. Yeah.
Feels ages ago. Doesn't feel like it was Sunday night. Feels like something's passed in my history.
Yeah.
It's gone. It's over. Yeah, it was disappointing. It's gone. I don't know. I don't feel sorry for that's how I feel. That's just how I feel. And I'm saying it. But I also don't know what that,
have
that
you
particularly
ever felt...
means. Maybe there's a disillusionment on the way we played. Subconsciously as well.
You feel a little bit like disconnected, maybe? Like, have you ever felt this disconnected to the national team? I may have put the wrong words in there, but
no, that I think it's a fair question, but no, nowhere near.
Okay.
To think back to 2016 or 2014, 2012, not qualifying.
I meant more what you're talking about, like in terms of enjoying the process and the journey, like more watching it in pubs and...
No, because I think, you know, Jude's bicycle kick, Ollie's goal, the penalties against Switzerland, like within the crap, there were some brilliant moments in there that you take with you and we'll always remember them with a positive mindset. Maybe it's me. Maybe it's me with the age I'm at and I don't want to wake up like, oh yeah, I got 20 out of my mind. Like, I don't want to be like that no more. Yeah. I don't want to wake up and see the little man in the morning and be like, daddy, daddy, I'm fuck off, kid.
Yeah.
I don't need this. I don't want that anymore. So I think it's a me problem as much as anything. And I think it's okay to say that. I'm fucking 40. I don't want to be dancing on tables anymore or anything, mate.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, no, I don't feel disconnected to the team. But I didn't care that much.
Yeah.
I was disappointed.
Mine was a very short journey where, like, I'd say I've growing up always been very patriotic, like, very consider myself very English. Like, I can be a bit of a yob at football, like, and not the horrible type, just more than say, I fucking love a sing song. I like having beers and this and that. But my support this tournament almost felt like a balloon popped. And it's like that. I don't think I realized it at the time, but I think everything that happened in Germany just kind of felt like my support just wavering to the point where I got to the final and I didn't care, if I'm being honest. I was excited,
I
like.
think there was an element for me as well that I was even thinking during the game, what happens here if we win? Not as in, like, I spoke to you in the past, like, how would it feel being an England fan? Like, it won't feel the same. We discussed that. No, I'm thinking, what's going to happen here now in this pub if we win? And I'm thinking, well, are we going to stay here till 1 o'clock in the morning and get chatted? And at that point, I'm thinking, I'm going to want to get out of here, and I'm going to want to get my dad out of here, even though largely 95% of the people in there was quite well behaved and stuff. I was thinking, I'm not going to want to be here. Don't like this. And maybe there's an element of safety in numbers as covered in the past. Like, previously, always would have been in bigger groups. So maybe perhaps awareness is of others was maybe a little bit more heightened and stuff. Maybe. I don't know. But there was even that. I was thinking, if we win, I want to get out of here. I'd
Yeah,
rather just go home and watch everything back, like the celebrations, by myself and stuff.
that's interesting. I think that's probably the only thing I was different on was like if England won, I would have liked. I like a sesh. I like a party, so I would have liked being around because I think overall the vibes would have been quite fun. But yeah, I'd say that's the only thing I was slightly different on.
It was a fun ride, wasn't it?
It was, and like you said, it's important to remember those moments, like the Bellingham one. For me, it was Saka, obviously, for obvious club allegiances, the penalties, the Watkins one. Like there were moments in there where, yeah, the highs couldn't really get any higher.
But I'm glad it's over.
Same, and I'm very ready for the Premier League season.
Tottenham are playing tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm yeah. Been watching all the kind of training videos of Arsenal, Arteta's interviews and stuff. It's yeah, get me back to the Arsenal.
Okay. On that bombshell, thank you very much, Clayton. I very much enjoyed these extra time on England chats. I hope you patrons have as well. As said, probably would need to get Suj's voice on Southgate, and but when that happens, it's probably going to be down to what FPL decide to do in the next couple of hours and whether they launch a game or not. But I'm sure we'll chat it in more detail. Clates, big love to Gareth Southgate. You're not listening, but thank you, good sir. Be nice to each other, everyone. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy football show.